Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
And, go with me to the book of Philippians. As you're turning there, you might be wondering what else is happening at Canvas Church. Next week, we have our all-church barbecue. Come on. What does that mean to you? That means that, hey, if you want notes, just stick them up there. We got paper notes, but we got the digital ones as well. But all-church barbecue is this. It's absolutely free. Everyone eats. Everyone hangs out. There's no cost to you. This is a great community time just to fellowship with one another, get to know some new people, and the barbecue's on us. You may have gotten the email, and I'm just going to highlight it right now. Last week was my mom's 85th birthday. That's right. And she serves so faithfully here at Canvas Church. Next week, we're going to throw in some cake, and we're going to honor her next week as well. So come on out. It's going to be a good time. Also, if you've never been water baptized, we're going to be doing water baptisms. You might not know this, but we have this beautiful water baptism all hidden right over here. I use it during the week as a hot tub. Come on, somebody. But we have this baptismal right over here, and so if you've never been water baptized, you can text baptism to our number as well and find out more information about that. I know we got at least three or four signed up. It's going to be a great, great day. Also, hey, our four-week class. I know I'm giving you so much information. You're like, whoa, I can't get all this. I know. Go to our website. But our four-week class on discipleship started, and it's not too late to jump in if you're interested in that. It's Tuesday nights at 5:30. Book of Philippians. We started last week. Pastor Steve did a great job kicking off our series entitled, Are We There Yet? That'll make more sense as this series just continues to unfold. But Paul talks about this idea that I haven't already achieved it. I haven't got to that place of perfection. I haven't got to that place where I'm perfected in all things. But what I do is I forget those things that are behind. I press forward that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Are we there yet? Come on, let's be honest. I'd have to say, no, we ain't there yet, right? As a church, as individuals, we're not quite there yet. So what are we doing? We're pressing into God. We're pressing into his word. And we're growing in him so we can get to that place that he wants us to be. And so last week, Pastor Steve began to set this up. My assignment today is to cover verses 1 through 11 of chapter 1. And so we're going to go there, and we're going to talk about a few things as we move through this, and then we'll hit the crux of it in just a moment. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read to the 11th verse. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Now, let's pause right there, because you might read this word slave, and you might think of it in a modern-day context. You might think, my gosh, that's horrible. Like, the Bible talks about slavery, and these guys were slaves. Well, I want to set this into perspective, because slavery, and this word bondservant, also used in other translations, it didn't mean the same thing that it means today. Okay, this was somebody that oftentimes was voluntarily a slave or a bondservant, meaning they wanted to stay there and they wanted to work and they wanted to be a part of that household. Sometimes it was to work off a debt. Maybe they had a debt to this individual, and so therefore they had to work off this debt, and so they became what was known as a bondservant. There we get the idea of bond, right? I owe this person money. I now have to serve them in order to pay this off. And so it's a different connotation. Here's the actual meaning of the word slave or bondservant, and it's translated from this Greek word, which means one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master. Okay, and so this idea of slave or bondservant. In other words, Paul is saying this. He's saying, hey, I am totally subservient to Christ Jesus. I am totally under his reign, his rule, whatever he wants me to do. In some ways, I'm indebted to him, but here's the context again. I'm choosing to be so. I want to be under Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. And I want us to take note here again, who's he writing to? I think one mistake we can make oftentimes as Christians is that we read through the lens that this is for everybody, that this is written to everybody. Well, it's only written to those that are saved or being saved, okay? Here it says right here, this text that I'm writing to, it's writing to the believers, God's holy people in Philippi, but I'm also writing it to the church leaders, and the deacons. Okay, so this is going to Christians. It's going to Christ followers. I think we make a mistake when we begin to read the Bible and say, you know what, they're not living up to this and they're not doing this. Well, they're not supposed to yet. Are you with me? This is to us. So read it through this lens. This is written to you. Okay? May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 3, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Now, when we get to chapter 4, we'll unpack this idea more. Why is Paul saying, man, as he's writing this letter and he's opening up with this greeting, why is he saying, man, every time I think of you, I give thanks? Well, in chapter 4, we're going to understand the reason that Paul is so grateful for them and why he's giving thanks to them every time he prays is because they supported him in his ministry. They became fellow supporters, fellow workers in the gospel through their financial giving, which is helping Paul in his missions, in accepting and believing the word that was being preached and then spreading that message to other people. And so now Paul is excited and he's happy. How many of you guys are, man, we actually had a good time in 91 degree weather digging holes in concrete. Come on, somebody. No, man, it's so much more fun to go on this journey with somebody, right? And so, you know, like it's one, literally this ground was so hard. I was like, man, what is God trying to teach us right now? They had to go rent. Think if you're plowing alone, right? Yesterday, when we're out there working for the city of Escondido, if just one auger, I don't know if you know what an auger is, but they rented the biggest auger they could. Two people had to man it just to dig these holes because we couldn't. If one of us was there, it would have been really lame, right? But man, when all of us came together, get through it. Well, most of us, I got through a few of them. Why are you laughing? Those are the bad knee and everything. Give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. Okay? Pastor Steve started to set this up, but we're going to see this by the end of this book. The predominant theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Joy. Finding joy in everything. Be joyful always. Be joyful in every circumstance, every situation. That is the premise. That is the whole kind of crux of the book of Philippians. And here he is right here, just a couple of verses in, mentioning this idea of joy. I'm doing it with great joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Highlight verse 6. This is going to come into play later. In other words, catch this. There's a work going on in you. It's going to continue in you. It's not going to be complete in you until Jesus Christ himself returns. Are you with me? Okay, so there's a work. We're all in progress. Let's put it that way, right? We're all moving in a direction. We haven't already reached perfection. We haven't already got to that place, but we're in progress and we're moving forward. And one day when Christ returns, he'll finish the work. Verse 7, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and how I long for you with tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Verse 9, here's his prayer for them as they're in this progress place. While they're in this place of, man, it isn't full yet. It isn't complete yet. God's still working something in me. Here's Paul's prayer for them. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day Christ Jesus returns. There's that idea again. We're in progress. What's Paul praying? We just read it. Verse 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation that comes by the Holy Spirit, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would just speak to each and every one of us. God, that you would take these 11 verses from this incredible book that was written thousands of years ago to a church in Philippi, and you would somehow cause it to speak to us today, that we'd walk out of here having been challenged in our faith, having been encouraged in our faith, some of us having been corrected in our faith. God, I pray you'd help me now in this moment to create an atmosphere and a place for people to discover your son, Jesus, know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Amen. Here we are in our summer road trip series. Are we there yet? How many of you guys like going on road trips? Anybody like going on road trips? How many of you guys prefer flying? Anybody prefer flying? Okay. It's not a road trip. It's an air trip. It's still a trip. But I like road trips. And here's why I like road trips. I like seeing the sights along the way. I'm literally a journey type of guy. Like, I like the journey. I enjoy the journey. I enjoy the highs and the lows and everything in between. But when you have kids and you're doing a road trip, how many of you guys know that sometimes a road trip with children can be a little bit difficult? Now, I know I didn't see any younger parents' hands go up, and here's why, because they have iPads. Come on, somebody. Right? I've seen the way the younger generation of parents travel, and you guys got it easy. All right? Like, I don't feel like it was that long ago. I mean, my oldest is 19, but we didn't have iPads. I don't even know if an iPad was created yet. If it was, I couldn't afford it. And so we just, you know, had to find ways of kind of entertaining the kids, or really getting the kids to entertain themselves, or giving them Tylenol and knocking them out. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me with judgment. You know you did the same thing. All right? Right? You just try to, because here's the thing. There's nothing more annoying. I remember we did this one trip, 18 hours from San Diego to Seattle to go visit. And I thought about this trip, because there's nothing more annoying than as you're making the trip and all you hear every 15 minutes is, are we there yet? Right? I mean, you're 15 minutes into the trip and they're already asking you. Check this out. We lived in downtown San Diego for 5 years. Loved it. But here's the thing about living in a downtown area. Everything is within like 3 minutes, and you can walk everywhere. And I'll never forget, after we were living down there for a little bit, we're going to go on our first, like, hey, we're going to go visit Uncle Cody. Uncle Cody lived 15 minutes away. But you would have think he lived like another state away. We get in the car, and we're like 3 minutes in, and are we there? Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? Right? And so I wanted to make some preparations, some plans. I was like, okay, look, we're driving. We're not going to do 18 hours straight. Now, if I was doing it myself, maybe I would, but I got wife, kids, and we're gonna make this an adventure. And so we planned out this whole road trip on the way up to Seattle, where we're going to stop, the Redwoods and this place, and we're going to take a couple days here and a couple days there, and we're just going to enjoy it. Because here's what I wanted to teach my kids. I wanted to teach my kids that life is not about the destination, that life is about the journey. I wanted to teach my kids that listen to me, it's not always about achieving a goal. It's not always about the dollar sign in the bank account. It's not always about the finished home. It's not always about this or that. Listen, you need to learn to enjoy the journey. Because here's what I've discovered long ago in my own spiritual journey, is that if all we have is this constant destination, we will live in disappointment. Because here's the thing, if our destination is Seattle, which it was, we get to Seattle, guess what? In 10 days, we're leaving Seattle. Right? And that's the thing about, if we live our life as always, as we got to hit these benchmarks, and we got to hit this destination, and we got to get to this place, and I need to be at this place spiritually, and I need to be at this place financially, and I need, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with goals. But the problem is if we always just live by the destination and by the goals, we'll find ourselves in disappointment. Because here's the other thing that happens. What happens when you reach the destination? Is life complete? Is life over? No. What does Paul say? Paul says this. Hey, man, you're in process. There's something happening inside of you, and I'm praying for you, because it's not going to be complete. It's not going to be fulfilled until the day Jesus Christ returns. In other words, you and I are constantly going to be in process. Is somebody with me this morning? But here's my question. Because the whole book is a book about joy. And so when I think about it, what is it that God really wants to work within us? If it's about the journey, could it be about having joy in the journey? And so, you know, when we talk about are we there yet, I don't want you to look about this as a destination series. I want you to look at this as about a vision and maybe a perspective series. Are we there yet? What do I mean by that? Are we at a place, church? Are we at a place? Remember this, written to the church of Philippi, the whole book's about joy. Are we there yet, church, where we can encounter, I don't know, let's think of something. Are we there yet where we can encounter a worldwide pandemic? Too soon? Are we there where we can still have joy in our life? where we can encounter something that we didn't see coming, something that we didn't think was going to happen or wasn't even on the radar, and all of a sudden something happens, can we still have joy in it? Let me put it this way. Are we at a place yet? It's the question. Where we can face challenges and obstacles and still have joy in our life. Are we there yet? Are we at that place? Christian, Christ follower, Jesus lover. I mean, it's easy to have joy when everything's going good. It's easy to have joy when everything, you know, is there. Are you with me? But are we at a place in our spiritual maturity that we can have joy in every circumstance, in every situation? See, here's the thing that I've come to realize that in the Christian journey, it seems like a lot of times our maturity gets measured by how much faith we have. And maybe that's because I grew up in churches that were all like, faith, 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 faith. Believe for it, right? And listen to me, I'm a faith guy, right? There's no other way to be, right? Anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? And we walk by faith, not by sight, okay? But listen to me, there's a whole other section of verses. And I think sometimes our spiritual maturity too oftentimes gets measured on, hey, how much faith do you have just to get over this mountain? I mean, if you just believe for that, you can have it, which is biblically inaccurate. If you just believe for this, and man, you gotta have enough faith. Actually, the crux of the gospel, and really the crux of Philippians is this, is I can have nothing and experience complete joy. I can be homeless on the street because my joy doesn't come from what I have. My joy comes from who has me. My joy doesn't come based on what's in my bank account. Could we have a perspective change? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Man, I'm going to... My joy doesn't come based on the house I live in, the neighborhood I have, the many friends I have, or this or that. My dress in it, I'm going to lay hold of that. Well, you know, you can lay hold of it right now. You can have joy in process. Joy comes from the fact that, man, everything I need is in Christ Jesus. You can have joy in the journey, no matter what you're walking through. I'm content in him and him alone. Are you with me this morning? No matter what you're facing. Matter of fact, to me, I think being able to have joy in every circumstance and situation is one of the greatest marks of maturity as a Christ follower. Have joy. And it can be in little things, like little things. Me and my wife did a little staycation the last couple days. And it was one of those surprise staycations. And what I mean by that is we had a hotel book that we had to use. It was like use it or lose it. And so we're like, well, hey, it's there. And it's just right here down the road, 10 minutes. But let's use it. There's a pool. There's a hot tub. And we found out like on Thursday. Friday is my doctor's appointment for my knee. And so the first thing I asked my doctor when I got there is, hey, is it okay if I go on the hot tub in the pool? And he's like, no, you need to wait another week. I was like, oh, okay. So my wife will have fun swimming in the pool and saying that, whatever. And so I text her, I said, hey, babe, I'm not gonna. And she was like, oh, man, that's such a bummer. And she's like, that's such a, man, I can't believe that. And I just texted her, I said, honestly, I said, 24 hours ago, we didn't even know we could do a staycation. So I can't be that disappointed that I can't get in the hot tub in the pool, right? Like, just little things. Like, because here's the reality. I feel like sometimes it's, as Christ followers, it's not even the big things that shake us. It's sometimes it's the little things. But can you have joy in every circumstance? Listen to this one. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. Philippians 4:4. This is Paul writing the church here in the same book that we're reading. And it says this, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In what? Everything, always, right? Like, this is, like, all the time. Doesn't matter what you're walking through. Always have joy. I love what James, the brother of Jesus, wrote in James 1:2. How many of you guys know there got to be some challenges being the brother of Jesus? Yeah. You ever had that sibling that it seemed like, man, why does everybody like them better than me? Well, try being the brother of Jesus. Right? That's got to be a little challenging. He writes this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Count it all joy. When what? He doesn't say count it all joy when everything's going your way. Count it all joy when, man, there's so much success surrounding you that, wow. Now why is that? Again, going back to this idea, why is it we can look at somebody and see this person of great faith, like, oh, man, they're a real man of God. But then you look at this person over here that's walking through trials and all this stuff, yet they're walking through with joy, and our first assumption is like, man, I wonder what's going on with them and God. Well, maybe they're just as biblically sound as the faith guy, because they're counting it all joy as they find themselves in various trials, knowing that the testing of their faith will produce patience, and patience will have its perfect work in you, so that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. Let me just share with you a few insights real quick. Right here out of Philippians. Going back to verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus. Now, if we go to verses 9 through 11 again, here's his prayer. As you're journeying through until Jesus Christ returns, I want you to have joy, but let me give you some prayer. Here's what I'm going to pray for you so that you can have that joy in the journey. I'm going to read it to you once again, but I'm going to read it to you in the New King James Version, because when I was younger, that was the version I read, and that was the version I memorized everything in. And it says this in Philippians 1, verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense." It's a great prayer. "Till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." Some insight in how you can have joy in the journey. Number one, right from the Bible, right from this prayer, have abounding love. He said, I pray that, this is the first thing I'm going to pray for you as you're journeying through this thing, so you can have joy in the journey, that you may abound in love more and more. What does it mean to abound in love? Now, if you think about some things that you love, like I love that, and I'm not talking about you love a cheeseburger, all right? But you love somebody, your spouse, like you love. Here's what it's saying, okay? That love is good, but I want you to abound in that. I want there to be more. I want it to be like on steroids. Like if you want to have joy in life, you need that love to increase a lot. What is he talking about? He's first and foremost talking about the love that we would have for God, that we're continuing to abound in that more and more. We're growing in that, that my love for God that I had yesterday and for his word and for the things of God and for the people of God and for prayer and for worship, as much as I loved it yesterday, man, I'm growing in it. It's abounding. It's increasing. Secondly, what he's talking about love for one another. And first and foremost, within the church. Why? Because the Bible tells us that the world's looking in, and they will know that we're Christ's followers based on the way we love one another. Because here's the thing. If the world's like pulls back the curtain and looks in the church and all they see is bickering and fighting, who wants to be a part of that? No, we got to grow in love. We need to abound in love. It needs to be increasing. It needs to be excessive. It needs to be over the top. And here's what I learned a long time ago. I did take some acting classes when I was younger and did some stage performances. I know it's hard to believe. But one of the things they would tell you was, hey, if you think that you're being joyful on stage and people are watching, that you need to go over and above. Anybody ever take any acting classes, anything? Yeah, they tell you you just need to go over the top. Like, you think you're being joyful now, I need that to increase a little bit, right? So you're sitting here thinking, I mean, I love people. I love God. Guess what? This is what the Bible's saying. You need to go over the top. You need to go more. Like it needs to be increasing and abounding in you. You want to have joy in the journey? Have abounding love. More and more and more. Number two, right from his prayer here, is grow in knowledge and understanding. Growing in knowledge and understanding. Let me read you a verse out of Proverbs. Proverbs 24. It says this, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So Paul, in essence, is taking the last two-thirds of this verse and saying, hey, if you want to have joy in the journey, you need to focus on understanding and you need to focus on knowledge. Why is that? Well, wisdom builds the house. Well, who's the one building the house? He is. We're just instruments in his hands. I remember building my house not that long ago, and the very first thing I had to do is I had to have blueprints. And then I had to take those blueprints, and I had to be able to read them. I had to be able to understand them. And then I had to apply the knowledge then to build that. Are you with me? Here's the thing. We have all the wisdom we need right here. Here's what we need. We need understanding of the wisdom that God's already set forth. And then through our knowledge, we begin to apply that. And we begin to walk that out. Paul is saying, hey, look, man, take the wisdom that God has given, and here's what you need to do. You need to understand it. Listen to me. That's why it's so important that we do Bible studies. That's why we have classes on a Tuesday night. Let's talk about discipleship. That's why, to me, the church can't be a pep rally all the time. That's why, to me, the church can't be a great, thought-out TED Talk, right? Like, here's what we need to do. We actually need to crack this open and say, okay, what's it actually saying? Like in context to my life, what is this saying to me? Well, let me just tell you this. What Paul was writing the church of Philippi some thousands of years ago, man, he's still saying today, if you want to have joy in the journey, here's some things that you need to do. You need to have abounding love. You need to grow in knowledge and understanding. You need to dive into this thing. Now, I'm a firm believer, look, because Paul wrote Timothy, his son in the faith, and gave him a list of things that the preaching the gospel does. And one of them is encouragement. Did you know that another one is rebuke? It's discipline. I know none of us love that one, right? We all like the talks when we sit down with dad and it's like, okay, son, pull up a chair. We're going to talk about the birds and the bees. You know, whatever. None of us liked the ones when dad pulled us in and had the belt. Right? But both were essential. And I'm a firm believer, listen to me, there's times when you're going to walk away from studying God's word where you feel like, man, that's so good, and man, you're so encouraged, and you're faith-filled, and you're like, yeah. There's going to be times when you walk away, and if not, then you're only getting one part of the gospel. There's going to be times when you walk away from reading the word like, oh, man, I'm horrible. Thank God for Jesus. Isn't that the whole point? Right? Understand it. Dive in. Number three, right from the prayer right here, approve of excellence. You want to have joy in the journey? Approve of excellence. What this is talking about, now, I don't want you to misunderstand this. It's not talking about excellence in performance. It's actually not even talking about excellence in the way that you and I would view excellence. What it's talking about is it's talking about focusing on things that are good and not evil. That's why we need to study the word. Approve of things that are excellent. It's talking about approving things that, man, that's good. That's not evil. That's a good thing that's happening. Philippians 4:8, and we'll get there again in our journey here. It says, think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What's it talking about? It's talking about thinking about the things that are good or godly and not evil. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of evil things that are excellent by the world's standards. Excellence is talking about focusing on what's good, approve of what's good and not of evil. Number four, I love this one. He says, be sincere in all things. Be sincere. Man, I don't know about you, but man, I just love honest, sincere people. Right? Ones that can look you in the face and just be honest with you. Like, hey, I'm really mad at you right now. I can respect that. I mean, you're wrong, but I can respect that. I'm just kidding. I can respect that, right? Like just sincere. Like, don't try to sugarcoat things. Don't try to cover things up. Don't try to manufacture things. Don't try to make things look like what they're not. Like just take down your Instagram post for a moment, right? Like, just sincere people. And when's the last time you saw an Instagram post with something that just says, today really sucks? I would actually like to see one of those. I might even share that for you, right? Like, just, this is what it says. Be sincere in all things. What does the word sincere mean in context? Pure, sincere, unsullied, which means not spoiled or made impure. Be sincere. Be sincere. You know what I loved about today's worship? I loved about today's worship is we just kind of stripped everything down. No lights. Let's just worship Jesus. Yeah, I mean, we didn't need the guitar, but it sure helped, right? And I was just like, let's just worship. Let's just, it's amazing how you don't need any of that stuff to have sincere worship, right? Like, just, sometimes it's just nice just to be like, hey, let's just, yeah, maybe next week we'll have an actual campfire up here. There's no sprinklers in here, so we don't have to worry about that. That's good. We do have a wood roof. That might be a problem. But just be sincere in all things. Be pure. Be pure. All things. Not just in some things. I tell you what, man, for Canvas Church, and I'm being sincere right now, I'm being very transparent. For Canvas Church, God did such an incredible work through COVID. He really did. I think in his church as a whole. But it caused us just to get back and say, hey, look, what really matters? The gospel being preached, people being cared for, and people being added. Let's just be sincere in our approach. And sometimes when you just strip everything back, man, something so beautiful. Be sincere in all things. Your conversations. I mean, like, literally, how many of you guys can handle it when, like, if someone's just at least honest with you, right? You're mad at me? Okay, just be honest about it. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out, right? Let's just, you know, let's not hide it. And, you know, one thing I've learned in life is that if someone is always like, man, you're awesome, and man, you're the best, and man, I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I got your back, if they're saying that all the time, there's something wrong. I can't be all that great. I know me, and you're lying right now. Like, my wife don't even think I'm that great. Like, let's be honest. Like, what's really going on? Just be sincere. Talk about it. Are you with me this morning? You want to join the journey? These things will help you. Number five, just two more. Worship team, you can come on up. Number five, stay free from offense. Oh, okay. I got some amens on that one. All right. Stay free from offense. Like, being offended by people. I know the Bible says that, hey, offenses are going to come in life, but woe by the man in which they come. Listen, in other words, the Bible's saying this. Hey, offenses are going to be a natural part of life. It's just going to happen. But what Paul is saying here, he's saying, hey, I'm praying that you stay free from offense. This is a huge one. This is a big one. I'm telling you right now, nothing will rob you of your joy faster than being offended at somebody that has nothing to do with your spiritual journey anyway. Being offended. Be free from offense. Here's something I've learned about offense. Being offended is a choice. It's a choice. Yeah, but they did that to me, and they said this about me, and they did, yeah? So? You can choose how you're going to respond to it. But they lied about me. Welcome to life. But then they told this person, and that person believes them and not me. Okay, well. Then they probably weren't a real friend. You can choose whether or not you're going to be offended. You can choose how you're going to handle that circumstance, that situation. You don't have to be offended. It's a choice. The other thing I've discovered with offense is this, is oftentimes people think that because they're offended, they're right. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. And I'm telling you right now, there's a culture that we live in that's built around this idea that the most offended people are the most right people. I'm serious. This people group is offended because they don't feel accepted and they don't feel this and they don't have that and they're carrying this offense, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh yeah, those poor people, they're right. No, they're not. Just because here's the problem. That whole ideology sometimes creeps into the church as well. Being offended doesn't make you right. There is actual right and wrong. There is actual evil and good. There is actual sin and not sin, right? Holiness, like, it does exist. And just because someone gets super offended, here's what's happened, man. We built this whole culture, like, well, we gotta coddle them. We gotta make, yeah, because they're, yeah. What's wrong with all these people? And that's how the 1% ends up with the loudest voice. This is a good message right here. But if you want to experience joy in the journey, Paul says, hey, stay free from offense. Like, just be completely removed from it. Being offended robs you of joy. You can choose not to be offended. You can choose how to handle a circumstance, a situation. Listen to this one. Romans 12:18 says, do all things you can to live at peace with everyone. Someone came to me and said, hey, Pastor Ben, I know you and so-and-so aren't hanging out anymore. I'm like, yeah, no, we're not. Are you offended? No, not at all. Well, then why aren't you hanging out? Well, I'm not hanging out because the Bible said do all things within my power to live at peace with somebody else. And so I've removed myself from that person because I know if I hang out with that person, it ain't going to be peaceful. Pastor, you don't mean, I do mean that. I mean, do whatever you have to do to live at peace with other people. And if that means you need to hit the delete button or the unlike button or just flat out not hang out with that person anymore, then so be it. If that's what you need to do to find peace, that's not you being offended, that's you being wise. No one's ever heard that message before, huh? That's you being smart, that's you being a believer, that's you staying free from offense. No, I'm not offended. See, I've been there before. Well, Pastor, you need to get to the place where you can be around people and tolerate them. And no, I don't. Listen. If someone slaps me in the face, I can forgive them. But I'm not going to let them slap me in the face again. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Right? Like, be free from offense. Stay free from it. Do everything with your power. Number 6, last one he says here. Be full of good fruit. Be full of good fruit. How am I going to be good, free, full of good fruit? I don't have any good fruit in and of myself. What's it talking about? I believe it's talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Paul understood, listen, man, there has got to be joy in the journey. It's not about a destination. Are we there yet? Are we at a place where we can face challenges, where we can face obstacles, where we can face encounters that don't necessarily appeal to us but still have joy in our life? And honestly, I'd say, yeah, we're probably not there yet. But here's the thing. Here's what we need to do. We need to continue to yield our life over to the Holy Spirit, yield ourselves over to these things, and allow that joy to be found in the journey. Are you with me this morning? God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Go ahead and stand to your feet. God, your word is amazing. I pray for each and every one of us in this place that, God, we would learn. Lord God, we would learn from this passage, and we would learn what it is that find joy. God, we would learn what it is to find joy in the process, joy in the journey. God, like Paul, we declare we're not there yet. No, we're not perfected, but we're in process. And we understand that the work is going to continue until the day that Christ Jesus returns. And so until that day, we're going to do our best to abound in love, to grow in knowledge and understanding, to approve what is excellent, to be sincere in all things, to stay free from offense, and to be full of good fruit. God, I pray for us today. But I pray that Canvas Church would be a place that embraces your word. God, embraces it deep within. Lord God, your word that would encourage us at times, that would correct us at times, that would challenge us at others. And we would continue to grow into a beautiful image of your son, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Hey, I'm going to ask some of the pastors, some of the prayer team to come on up. And man, if you need prayer for anything, as some of the small group leaders coming up, if you need prayer for anything, we'll be here for a few moments. Love to pray with you and for you, no matter what you're walking through. Come back next week. Come on, we got our all church barbecue. Bring some friends out. It's going to be fun as we continue our series, Are We There Yet? God bless. Have an amazing week. Come on up if you need some prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.